has been announced, we will be having a congregational meeting after our service, worship service this evening. So there will be an abbreviated sermon after the sermon. Of course, we have the song after the sermon, and then the Lord's Supper will be offered to those who would like to partake of that. And then we'll have the announcements will then be made after that. There will not be a closing prayer then, but we will go right on into the congregational meeting, and then we'll have a closing prayer after the congregational meeting tonight. Appreciate you being here this evening. How important is the church? Now, of course, when we talk about the church, we're talking about people. We're not talking about a building. We're not talking about some ecclesiastical organization where the focus is on the hierarchy, the clergy, but it's on all of saved people. And we know the church is used in both the worldwide, universal sense, referring to all of God's people, and also in a local sense. Christians, saved people in a certain locality who meet and work together and serve the Lord locally and organize as the Lord has directed. And how important are these people to us? Well, really, what I want to talk about tonight is how important is the church to deity? You know, when we come to understand how important the church is to God, then we come to realize how important it is, and surely how important the church should be to each of us. First of all, when we think about the church, we learn that the church was that which God purposed and planned before the creation of the world. Matter of fact, it was in the eternal purpose of God. I don't know if I fully understand that. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning with verse 9. Paul says, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's the angelic beings. They're able to see God's manifold, many-colored wisdom. How? By the church. When they look at the church and what God accomplished in making the church, establishing the church, they are able to see God's manifold wisdom. But notice there in verse 11 that was according to the eternal purpose of God. In other words, the purpose of bringing the church into an existence was something that God had planned in eternity. Now, when we think of, course, eternity is ongoing, and eternity in the past is ongoing, you might ask, when did God begin that purpose? When did He first think of that? It's eternal. According to the eternal purpose of God, He had purposed that there would be this group of people who He would make in His own image and who would choose to come to Him, and they would then serve Him. They would be His people. They would bring praise to His glory. He would save them, and they would then be able to live with Him for all eternity with Him in heaven. That's what God had in mind before the creation of the world. If you notice in Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 6, just as He chose us are the saved people, those who've been made alive through the death of Christ, the church, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Now, this is not the Calvinistic view of where God arbitrarily chose each individual who would be in the church. He chose that there would be this group of people who would be His. And all those who choose to become a part of that through their obedience of the gospel, they are in that elect group of people. And it could be said that each of us has been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, God predetermined that His Son would come, provide salvation for mankind, and all who would choose to obey Him could be said to be chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And then what we find in the creation of man, and then down through the ages, He was making preparation for the coming of His Son, the Christ, the Redeemer, and provide salvation for all mankind, so that there would be this group of people who would be His, who would bring praise to His glory, and who would be able to live with Him for all eternity. Now, that's what God did. Now, let me say something to you. You know, something that you purpose and you plan for some time, and if you spend a lot of time and maybe a lot of money in preparing for this, whatever it is important to you. Let's say it's a house that you're wanting to build and it's your dream house, and you look at all the house plans and you find the one exactly the one you want, and you want all these materials in that house, and you save up money over a period of maybe years to be able to make a down payment or maybe pay for that house, and then the time comes and it's being built, and then it's built and you're able to go and move into it. Is that important to you? Something that you purposed and planned all that time? Maybe it's a vacation that you wanted to go on, and for a couple of years you wanted to go to this place. You've been wanting to see this all your life. And now you've planned it for years. You've saved up money and you're able to go and visit this place and you enjoy it immensely. And is that trip important to you? You know, the things that we spend time and money on in preparing, planning, and then bringing it to fruition is usually important to us. This is important to deity. The church, that group of people who we are, is something that God purposed and planned before the creation of the world. But not only that, when we think about the church and how deity views it, God purchased the church with His own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul says to the elders in Ephesus, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Let's say He purchased you for all the money, all the silver and gold, whatever worth that is, that has ever existed here upon this earth. I don't know if we've got a number that can describe that amount of money or value. But it's not silver and gold. Something far more precious, far more valuable than any gold or silver or money here upon this earth. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that He shed, He gave, in order that we might be His, that we might be purchased to Him, to belong unto Him. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Jesus gave Himself for the church. That's the love that He has for the church. You know, we many times determine the value of an object by the price that somebody is willing to pay for it. You know, there's some paintings that I don't know anything about them. They really wouldn't be that valuable to me, but there are some that are willing to pay millions. Millions of dollars. Why? Because that painting is of great value to them. And they're willing to pay that amount of money for it. Something you're willing to pay a great amount of a price for is something that's important to you. I cannot think of anything more valuable than the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth and died for us. That's how God views the church. He was willing to pay that price in order that the church might exist. But not only that, you know, God gave gifts to the church. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning with verse 7. It says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, this is talking about when Jesus ascended to heaven after His resurrection, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So captivity was now made captive. We no longer have to be captive to sin. He gave gifts. When He did that, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts to men. And it goes on to say, now this He ascended. What does it mean? But that He also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. So He who descended is now the one who ascended, sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. But it says that He gave gifts to men. What did He give? Look at verse 11. "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." All right, here's the gifts. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now we have the apostles and prophets in these words here. What they have provided for us is the instructions, the revelation that God wants us to know, so that we can be like Him, that we can be conformed to His image. Well, and that's what he goes on to say. We have the apostles and prophets. There are the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Evangelists, of course, are the preachers of the gospel. We have preachers of the gospel today. They're able to do this by the provision that God has made. Also, pastors and teachers, these are the elders. God's provided for the local church. Why did He provide these special servants within the church? Verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we might become like Him, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." So He gave these gifts so that the church might grow to be what the Lord wants them to be. You know, God, before the foundation of the world, chose us in Him, and He chose that we might be like Him, that we might be conformed to His image. That's what He wants us to be, and He provided us with the means whereby that could be accomplished. And with these special gifts, special servants, it's in order that these special servants will equip the saints so that they may work, minister for the work of ministry, so that all of us then may minister. And as we're all ministering, then that's for the edifying of the body of Christ, building us up to become more like Him. You know, when your children were growing up, one thing that was important to you is for them to be prepared for life. And so you provided whatever they needed in order to have a good education, so that they could maybe get a good job and be able to provide for themselves and for their families. And you gave them those gifts and spent probably many of you lots of money in order to provide for that education. Not only that, of course, you taught them the Word of God. But the point is you gave them what they needed so that when you sent them out, they then could be able to be what you would want them to be, what they would want to be, so that they can survive in life and be able to live the life as it should be lived and provide for the things that they need. Well, the Lord has made provision for us, for His church, that we might be what we ought to be. And that is an indication of how He values His church. My point here is this. When I look at how the church is viewed by God, how important the church is to God, and that He purposed it in eternity, and He planned it, and He then brought it to fruition through a period of time. He made preparation for it, and then He brought it to fruition, and here we're now part of it. It's important to God. And when I realize that He gave His blood, the blood of God in the flesh, God who partook of flesh and blood, who gave His life, shed His blood in the flesh, so that we might be saved and we might be a part of that church, so that church might exist. That means that church was important to deity, to God. And then He gave these gifts, these special servants, to equip the saints so that we might be what He wants us to be. The church is important. And so it should be important to us as well. So these are some things that I think I want you to think about. Not that you didn't already know these things, but that we need to be reminded so that we might appreciate this local congregation, that we might appreciate the work that God has done in the lives of these members and appreciate what God has provided in the church of the Lord, and make sure that His church and the work of that church and the purpose for which the Lord put the church here, that it might be important to us as well. There may be some here tonight who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord. If that be the case, we want you to come to Jesus and render obedience to His gospel that you might be saved. And if you fall away, you never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to come back. If there are any here subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.